Thank you, Simon, and it was great to hear lots of that feedback. I just want to say again thank you to everyone who was involved in making the Weekend Away possible. So many people having to work hard at that. One of the things that I was really reminded of throughout the whole weekend was the importance of food. I mean, you know, obviously we need food to live, to sustain us and to strengthen us. But in terms of fellowship, it is so important. And the thing that I loved more was just walking around the different areas where people were eating and fellowshipping and just hearing the chatter. And it reminded me how over the last 2 years we've missed that. You know, I don't think that is a coincidence that people felt alone and isolated because we haven't been able to gather together, to eat together, to share life together around the table, around food. So I'm really hoping and looking forward to us getting back to having some of those Sunday lunches together after services where anyone can stay. Getting back to having Alpha where we can invite people in to eat with us. You know, all the different things in Lunch Plus, you know, on Mondays. Huge things, and it's all around food. So, you know, let's be praying that... We'll be able to get back and do encourage Claire as she seeks to look at the hospitality area in particular. So, praise the Lord, and that chocolate, Emma, that is awesome. Thank you very much. And, you know, even last, I think it was Easter Sunday when we had refreshments for the first time in 2 years, there was a buzz. So even tea and coffee and chocolate biscuits make a huge difference. So, praise the Lord. Good. I just want to just share briefly some thoughts around John chapter 15. If you've got your Bibles, you want to have a look. I don't think we've got it on the screen, have we? No problem. Get your phones out, get your Bibles out, stick your hands up. And there is no slides either, so you're going to have to trust me that this is what it says if you haven't got a Bible. But John chapter 15, these are the words of Jesus to his disciples just hours before he is arrested and taken away. And this is John 15, verse 1. I'm going to read up to verse 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, to love each other. The theme of our weekend away was changing times, changing church, ministry and mission in a post-COVID world. Bit of a long title. But the whole thing was about changing times, changing church. You know, we're in a time of change. And one of the questions that often comes to you as a pastor, as a leader, and one of the questions I've asked a lot of myself is this. It's, what do you think God's will for my life is, Pastor? Or what do you think God's plans for my life are? And I'm sure that every single one of us at some time has said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is the plan that you have for my life? You know, what vision do you have for my life, Lord? And certainly, you know, many people come and say, you know, what vision has God got for the church? Or, you know, what plan or purpose has he got for the church? And as Ron mentioned earlier, you know, one of the talks was about discerning, learning to discern, learning to distill, and learning to, at times, disagree in a positive way. And but that process is important in a new season to know what God wants us to do specifically. Because the reality is, when people ask that, what do you think God's plan for my life is? The specific plan, I don't know. I mean, sometimes God may give you an insight or wisdom, a word of knowledge or something. But in general, I don't know. It all depends on the individual person. It all depends on the gifts and the talents that God has put within them. You know, how God is going to use them and lead them and guide them. And God, you know, the good thing about Christianity is about relationship. And the relationship doesn't just come through the pastor, the priest, to the people. You can go direct and pray and seek God's guidance for your life. And God delights to speak to us and to lead us and guide us. And even as a church, when people say, well, what's God's plan for us as a church? What should we be doing? Well, we need to take time to discern. You know, we've done certain things over the years in certain ways because we felt God has led us and guided us. And now in the new season, it's about discerning what the next step is. And for me personally, I think this sabbatical has come at a good time for me to go away and to do that, to be quiet, to actually take time to pray, to think and to reflect, both for my own personal life and for Kate and I, and also for the church family here. And I really appreciate your prayers in the process of us doing that and me doing that, that God will speak to us. The last time we went on sabbatical, we came back and we planted a church, which Andy and Sarah leading for us. And, you know, so God speaks, didn't he, in different times. And who knows what God will speak to us about this time, you know. But if you're asking me in terms of what is God's bigger plan and purpose for our lives, something we can do is and understand is found in verse 16. In verse 16, Jesus says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." The bigger plan is God's life. I'm 100% convinced of is this, that God wants you to be fruitful. That his plan and purpose is for your life is that you are fruitful. That you live a life that is fruitful, that is effective. And you could say, well, what does it mean to be fruitful? He sums it up here. This is my command, love each other. As the Father loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's command and remain in his love. The command is love each other as I've loved you. And the whole theme of this is about love. And to be fruitful is to be fruitful in God. To be fruitful in Christ, then that means to be fruitful in the Spirit, in love. Love is at the center of everything, as Simon started the service off this morning. And what is the fruit of love? What is the evidence of that? It's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's gentleness, it's faithfulness, it's self-control. It's all those fruits that come out of love. God is love. What's God's plan for our purpose for our life? That we would be fruitful. That we would be a people of love and a people who display that love. People who bear that, the fruit of love. Now, that whole term that Jesus says that we need to do something in order for that to happen. And he says, remain in me. Why remain in him? Why is it so important to remain in him? Because he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. He's got all these images, these pictures. He says, I am the true vine. The Father is the gardener who cuts off all the bits that are not helpful and prunes me, so I'll be even more fruitful. Jesus speaks about himself being pruned by the Father. You know, Jesus himself, you know, needed the Father to prune him in order to be even more fruitful. And so I'm thinking, well, then we certainly need the Father to do that. And he says to us that we are the branches. He's the vine, we are the branches. And if we are a branch that's not connected to the vine, then we're not going to survive. It's going to die. So in order to be fruitful, we need to be connected to the vine. And the Bible tells us that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are born again. We are added to his family and we are grafted into that vine. But he says, remain in that vine. Remain in that vine. That somehow it must mean that we can disconnect ourselves from the vine. That we can somehow detach ourselves. That we can somehow live a life of separation from God, you know, that so therefore we're not fruitful. And it makes me think that this whole thing about remaining in Christ is not a passive thing. It's not passive. You know, we just think, oh, I'm just gonna remain in Christ. So I'm just gonna sit here then and do nothing and just remain. And no, it means that it's actually active. It's faith. That to remain in Christ, we actually have to do something. We actually have to choose every day to put our faith and trust in Jesus. Despite what's happening around us in the world, despite what we read in the newspapers or on the internet, that we choose to say, Jesus, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I'm going to go your way. I'm looking to you to provide for me. I'm looking for you to bring your peace. Jesus, today I'm choosing to allow your Holy Spirit to work in my life, to change those wrong and negative attitudes that maybe I have. Jesus, today I'm choosing to trust in you financially. That I'm not just going to trust, of course I'm going to work hard, but I'm not going to trust just in that money, and I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm choosing to go deeper with you. It's an active thing. It's not a passive thing. A couple of months ago, someone shared a couple of pictures they had with me. And I shared them at the last morning prayer meeting we had back at the end of March. But I wanted to share again because when this person showed me or shared these pictures with me, they really kind of resonated with me. And I feel that they're very relevant for us at this time. And so some of you would have heard this before a couple of months ago, and I gave you copies to take away to pray through. But others, you may not have heard this or seen this before, but back in March, someone sent me this. It was two pictures. The first one was of a small child clutching a safety blanket while its father is wanting to give it a new toy. But it has to let go of the blanket before it can take hold of the new thing. The second picture was of a small child learning to swim in a teaching pool. It starts out with floats and armbands and rubber rings and progresses to a stage where it can swim without these things. Then comes the day when it moves into the main pool, and along with that comes a shock because the main pool is much bigger, it's deeper, it's colder, it's noisier than what it's used to, i.e. it's unfamiliar and a little scary. And the person wrote this, that what they believed the Lord was saying was that no matter where we are in our spiritual walk or whatever we may have experienced of God in the past, that he's wanted to take us into a deeper relationship with him and bring us into the new things. However, we need to be prepared to let go of the familiar and the safety of what we know to embrace the new, and that the new, when it comes, may well bring it with it a sense of shock. And we can react to the sense of shock in one or two ways. We can either accept it and go forward, or else go back to the teaching pool, to the old and the familiar. The choice is always ours. If we choose to go back, we may end up missing out or being vulnerable. And then they say, but remember, the idea of the teaching pool is to eventually move us out to swim in the river, God's river. And for me at this time, you know, when we are considering what is ahead, I want to say to us that the most important thing we do is that we are connected to the vine. We're grounded on in Christ, that he's center of everything. But at the same time that we are ready to let go of the familiar, we're ready to let go of, you know, we honor the past, we honor tradition, we honor all those things. And that's right, and we respect them. But we don't have to necessarily live in them all the time. It's important that we learn to discern and let go and embrace, even if it is scary. Someone once told me that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And sometimes it takes us courage to step out into new things, doesn't it? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what some of those new things will be. But for all of us, including myself, if we are firmly connected to the vine, then that he is the life source. So he will give us everything that we need. And he will give us the faith and the courage to do those things. And there is a promise in these verses. The promise is this: if we are going to stay connected, and just to say, you know, he makes it clear that if we're not connected, that, you know, eventually we die. And as a church, if Christ is not at the center and we're not connected to him, then eventually even churches, whole families die. But for those who do remain in him, these promises are found in these verses. Verse 7, that our prayers will be answered. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, it's not a promise that we would have all our selfish ambitions and desires met, but that if we remain in Christ, it is the assurance that all we need is at our disposal. So it's not just about our desires, our wants and selfish, you know, desires. It's about what we need. God says, look, ask me and I'll give it to you, because we are so connected. The second thing is that if we remain in God's, in the vine, and we remain in his love, that God is glorified. Excuse me. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The more we abide in Christ, the more fruit we will bear. The more we will be used in the Lord's work, and the more those around us will see Christ at work. Who wants to glorify God? Then live a life that's fruitful. Stay connected to the vine, the life source. And Jesus says you will glorify by your fruit. And thirdly, he says our joy will be complete. He said, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Remaining in Christ supplies us with joy and a delight in life that withstands all the painful circumstances that many of us have to go through. All of us have to go through at different times as we journey through this life. Life is uncomfortable at times. Life is unfair at times. You know, you think as a Christian, surely, but it doesn't, we have to trust God. And in the midst of those painful things, even when we don't understand them, God is able to give us joy. Because we're attached to Him, the source of all joy. Finally, what I want to say is this. If Jesus needed the Father, the gardener, to prune Him in order that He would be fruitful, then maybe some of us need God to prune us. And the pruning can be that God takes out the dead wood. Because in all of us, there'll be dead wood. There will be. Certainly in my life, you know, there's things that God needs to cut out because it's not helpful and it's not holy. But even those things that have blessed us in the past, that have been successful, that has caused us to be fruitful, where we've really seen God at work, even those, He has to cut back at times in order that we will continue to be fruitful. Because we don't stay the same. I think Kate shared this once. Was it last year or a couple of years ago? Rosie very kindly comes around and does the garden and does a great job looking after the manse. So it's okay, all right? So it's left to Kate and I, sadly. It's not so good, but Rosie takes care of it. And Paul came around one day and he cut back all the roses by the back of the house. And when we saw it, we thought, my goodness, it's like, it's cut back. I mean, Rosie cuts it back, and you think, yeah, that's fine. But Paul, like, it wasn't anything left. And we thought, my goodness, surely that's going to die. But literally, 6 months later, it was even more glorious than normal. It had even more flowers on it, even more roses. And yet the pruning seemed drastic. It seemed too much. And yet God knows what we need. And He knows the pruning that needs to take place in our lives. Even if we think it seems drastic, if we allow Him to work in us by His Spirit, then in the coming weeks and months, I believe we will be even more fruitful in our life in Him. So church, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. If we remain in Him, we will be fruitful. What does the future hold for us, specifically, individually, as a church family? We don't know yet. We're still discerning that. But I'm convinced that whatever it is, He wants us to be fruitful in what we do for Him, in order that we may bring glory to Him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You because You are such a good Father and You're such a good gardener. And Lord, today we think of Your word. And Your word tells us that we are the branches. And Lord, we need to stay connected to the vine, to You, in order to be fruitful. And Lord, we want to do that. We want to be connected to the lifestyle. And Lord, forgive us when we can think we can do things without You. That somehow we can live the life that we want and just add You on to our lives, just like a hobby or something like that. Lord, forgive us for that. And Lord, we want to give You permission, even today, to take Your pruning shears and begin that work of pruning us. Lord, we give You permission to cut out all the stuff that's not helpful. Lord, we give You permission to cut back that which has been fruitful. But now we're in a new season. And Lord, more than anything, Lord, we want to grow in You. We want to grow in love. We want to be obedient to Your command to love one another, to love the lost, and to love You. So Lord, help us. Help us to remain in You. Help us by Your Spirit to be fruitful in You for Your glory. Amen. Amen.